"Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, and with thy whole soul, and with thy whole mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and second, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, today we are reminded, and this is not the only time, that we must put God above everyone else. And it only makes sense because God is the creator. He obviously has the greatest claim to our love, to our service, to being put first ahead of all human creatures. And it may be easy to say, but hard to do. And yet, the reality is, again, God must come before man. And that is always true charity. We know it would not be true love, it would be false charity, if man is put ahead of God. And so at the very minimum, we have to, as our Lord said to the apostles, "If you love me, keep my commandments." There it is. There's the proof, there's the test, there's the evidence of love of God. We have to love him enough to say no to sin. Now, being the weak and frail human beings that we are, we will. Even the great saints couldn't remove all spot or speck of sin from their lives. Only the Blessed Mother had no speck or spot of sin at any moment of her entire existence. She was immaculately conceived. But this is why we have to work so hard at overcoming sin in our daily lives. This is why we need to really repent. Not, well, first of all, for any mortal sin. That goes without saying. That we have to love God at least that much. That's the minimum degree of love to get to heaven. But what about our venial sins? Did they not, or do they not, offend Almighty God? Do they not hurt him? Did not Jesus have to suffer for every one of our venial sins? Yes, he did. So the more we love God, the harder we're going to work at eliminating venial sin from our lives. Can we not make it a spiritual goal at least to never commit a deliberate venial sin? In other words, we should not in our thinking ever allow ourselves to have the thought, well, it's only a venial sin. It won't kill sanctifying grace in my soul. That's true. However, unchecked, well, first, venial sin still is an offense against Almighty God. Jesus still suffered for that venial sin. Venial sin is evil. Venial sin will never be right. And again, the more we love God, the harder we're going to work at overcoming even venial sin, at least deliberate venial sin. Let's keep that as a spiritual goal. That's true growth in holiness. That's growth in virtue. It takes, the more we overcome sin, the more virtue it takes to do that. So this is what it means to love God above all things, and where we never, ever say, "I will please a man and displease God." Let's never say that in our lives. And people will have to understand this. If we're asked to commit a sin to please somebody else, then we know not to do it, because it can never be the right thing to do. Does this mean we have to feel more love of God than for our fellow human being? Interestingly, no, it's not required. And I'm going to quote here from one of the moral theology questions that Bishop Pivirunis likes to publish every month in the seminary newsletter. I'm sure you've noticed it many a time. On the last page of the Ad Sum, and it's the bishop loves to quote that renowned theologian, Father Francis Connell. And so anyway, this is one of the recent Ad Sums, and this the title of this moral theology consideration or question is the order of charity. In what order do we practice charity? So let me read here. As is evident, God must be loved more than we love any creature, with our whole heart and soul, as our Lord expressed it. That's today's gospel. However, our love for God need not be sovereign in intensity or fervor. It suffices that it be sovereign in appreciation. There's the key distinction. It's not necessarily in intensity of feeling, but it, when, if you want to say, when push comes to shove, then we would choose God before we would choose man. Which, so what does he mean by it has to be sovereign in appreciation, which means that we have the sincere intention to give God the preference over everything created, so that if we are faced with a choice between God and any creature, we shall give preference to God. It renders it more perfect if we have more feeling, but this is only an accidental, not an essential perfection. So yes, it would be better if we felt more love of God than for anything else or anyone else. But he says that's not strictly required. I'm reminded of a story of I read this somewhere years ago, and there was a devout Catholic woman who went to confession regularly to her parish priest. He was a good and holy priest. And, you know, and she so often naturally happens, just felt like she liked him more and more. And then she had this horrible thought one day. She says, my having more love for this priest than I am for God? And so she took that question to him, said, Father, I have this fear that I might be loving you more than I'm loving God. And the priest, being the wise priest that he was, said to her, no, I'm sure you love God more than you love me. And she kept on saying, I still feel like I might love you more. And he said, here, I'm going to prove it to you. I want you to go out and steal a dollar for me. And as soon as she heard that, she horrifiedly said, Father, I could never do that. I would never offend God to please you. He said, see, I proved it to you. So, yes, it is better, and that it's something to strive for, to keep having a greater feeling of love for God than we do for anyone else. But again, we show that, we prove our love for God by never sacrificing him for somebody else. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, thy whole mind, thy whole soul, and thy whole strength. This is the greatest commandment. And then to love our neighbor as ourselves. Another part of loving God is our prayer life. Because we have to love God more than our fellow man, does this mean we have to spend more hours in prayer than we do doing anything else? That would be ideal, but it's not required. I've never seen it in the teachings of the church that mathematically we have to spend again, more time in prayer and more time with God than with our fellow man, whoever that person may be, our family, friends, relations, whoever else. However, doesn't it not stand to reason that there must be a significant amount of time we give to God every day in prayer? How can we say we really love God above all things if we barely think about Him, barely give Him any time in prayer during the day? Obviously, we couldn't. So our prayer life is not, as we most obviously know, just something to do, you know, come to assisted Holy Mass on Sundays. No, prayer has to be throughout the week, throughout our lives. At the very least, there must be significant times in our day where we give exclusively to God. And hence our morning prayers, our evening prayers, our daily rosary, and best of all, the holy sacrifice of the Mass. So again, it's not a mathematical calculation, but again, it is truly the right choice we would make. I would never displease God in order to please man. Remember that He is not only our Creator, and that alone puts Him in first place above everyone else. He also redeemed us. He died for us on the cross. He loves us not just with His infinite divine love, but He loves us with a human love as well. He became man. He became one of us. He gave us a church to belong to conduct us to salvation, to lead us to salvation. He gave us His own mother to be our spiritual help. So there's no end to that meditation there on how much God loves us. And so our endeavor is to make a return of that love to Him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.